Hi, everybody. It's Julie.
And I'm Samantha, and this is Stick to Tape.
Yes, it is. It is episode number 55, West is Messed, because...
What the hell is going on out there?
Oh, my God. Well, first off, it's a good thing that we recorded late, because we have breaking news.
Breaking news!
Taylor Hall has been traded to Arizona. Would you like the details on this trade?
First, I want to say Taylor Hall has been sitting out for the past, like, two games.
Yeah.
I was hoping they were going to keep him in trade limbo forever, and we would just never know where he went. But, yeah, let's get some details.
All right, well, I can assure you and tell you for sure the trade was not one for one, so Ray Shero is getting a better return on Taylor Hall than he got for whatever trade he made. I don't even remember what it was. Adam Johnson? Is that who it was?
Adam Larson?
Larson, that's it. I was like, Johnson. I didn't even fucking remember. You know why? Because it was inconsequential for the Oilers. Okay, well, not really, actually. Anyways, not the point. Okay, so the New Jersey Devils have traded left wing Taylor Hall and left wing Blake Spears, real name, to Arizona in exchange for Arizona's first round pick in the 2020 NHL draft, which is top three protected. So that means it goes to the next year.
That's so dumb. Why would you trade for Taylor Hall and then get a lottery protected pick? Like,
correct. He is like the lottery ball master. They get Arizona's third round selection conditional in 2021. Defenseman Kevin Ball and forwards Nick Merkley and Nate Schmar. So that's what Yeah.
That's what the Devils got.
That's what the Devils got. Yeah.
Because. Okay. Merkley is a name that I know.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Is that Merk Daddy?
It is. Bo Bennett literally just, like, Instagrammed, and he was just on Bo's Insta story the other day.
R.I.P. Anyways, okay, so Arizona's 2020 first-round selection, if it is in the top three, New Jersey will receive Arizona's first-round pick in 2021. The conditions on the 2021 pick are as follows. The third-round pick in 2021 becomes a second-round selection if Arizona wins a Stanley Cup playoff round or if Taylor Hall re-signs in Arizona. The third-round pick in 2021 becomes a first round selection if Arizona wins a Stanley Cup playoff round and Taylor Hall re-signs in Arizona. If neither condition happens, New Jersey still receives the 2021 third round pick.
All right.
Okay, first off, Taylor Hall's not re-signing in Arizona, right?
No, absolutely not.
I don't think so, but where does he go?
I don't know, but he can go wherever the fuck he wants, and he can decide. There's no way he's signing in Arizona.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, also, New Jersey retains half on the salary.
Yeah, so the instead of Taylor Hall's $6 million cap hit, Arizona is getting a $3 million cap hit, and the Devils are keeping $3
million. Yeah.
And I think Arizona, Cat Friendly was tweeting about it. I know that they're using their LTIR, cause they're getting up there now, apparently. I know they're using their LTIR to absorb that cap hit. And I don't remember if they did have to put Jalmerson on LTIR or not, but he hasn't played yet and he's not going to play anytime soon. Nick Jalmerson.
Oh, I thought you said something else, and I didn't hear that. Oof.
Nick Jalmerson, right-handed defenseman. He's been out all season. I don't think he's supposed to be back before January.
Remember when Nick Jalmerson literally bought the house next to his house in Chicago to knock it down to, like, have a bigger yard?
I had not remembered that, but that sounds about right.
It's true.
I know.
I mean, I read it on the internet, so it must be true.
That's how it works.
So, also, Taylor Hall's going to wear number 91 in Arizona because he's
trying Tyler to be Seguin.
Tyler Seguin. Oh, God. Does that... Okay, so if... When Seattle comes in...
Yeah.
If Taylor Hall stayed in Arizona and Seattle comes in, does Arizona transfer over to the Central?
Yeah.
Oof.
even if Taylor Hall doesn't stay with Arizona, Arizona is still going to be in the Central. Yeah. Like, that's the plan, I think, is to have Arizona switch over to the Central and then Seattle's in the Pacific.
I hate it.
I don't know what else would make sense to transfer. No, it makes sense. That's the only one.
Do you know what would make more sense, though?
When they move to Houston, it'll be a great...
Well, no, here's what I'm saying. Like, Detroit should be in the Metro. They're not Atlantic at all. Like, they should be in the Metro, and then, like... But that doesn't make any sense, because then all the New York teams should be in the Atlantic.
Yeah.
But
they're metropolitan.
I digress. Maybe the Metropolitan isn't the right name for that division.
I don't think so. I don't think Metro or Atlantic are the right names for those divisions, judging by who's in them.
Yeah. But that's another story, and we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we do. Like, the biggest story that we were going to talk about that broke last Tuesday is going to be our biggest story.
See, you cut me off because I was really going to make a joke there, and you cut me off.
Oh, no. What was your joke?
Because you were going to be, like, the biggest story, and I was like, yeah, Pete DeBoer got let go in San Jose. That's what I was going to say, but you cut me off because you said last Tuesday, so I got cut off. It's been almost a week, so we should probably talk about the big thing here, which is Tuesday morning. Let me set the scene for you. Tuesday morning, I am sitting in a Spanish class because I'm a substitute teacher, and I'm sitting there, and I get a notification on my phone. It says, the Dallas Stars have let go of Jim Montgomery effective immediately, and I said, what? And I was like, huh? So I went to Twitter because I was like, oh my God, that means, like, I hadn't been on. And I was like, oh my God, it must be blowing up. There was nothing. I was like the first one that saw it. And I was like, okay, what? And so Jim Montgomery got fired from the Dallas Stars on Tuesday morning. And we don't know what the fuck happened.
We don't know what the fuck happened. They released this information at like...
It was like 10 o'clock in the morning Eastern time.
I think it was like 10:30 Eastern. And they gave a press conference at 11 a.m. Central. So an hour and a half later, they gave this press conference, and in which they told us nothing concrete. Jim Neal said that he got a phone call on Sunday afternoon. They took 2 days. He didn't go to the governor's meeting, which was on Sunday, or Monday. I don't know. He didn't go to the governor's meeting because he was investigating this. It is not related to abusive behavior. It is recent. It is not currently an active legal investigation. It doesn't involve any of the other employees of the Dallas Stars organization, and that is all we know. It happened recently. I don't know if it happened on Sunday, but Jim Neal got the phone call on Sunday, investigated it, and terminated him.
It was a non-phone call. Like, nobody knows who it was. And apparently, I just read a thing that says that the only people who really truly know what happened are, like, it's like need to know basis. So I would say that the players still don't actually know what happened.
Yeah, they didn't tell the players until, like, that. They told the players that day. Like, the players were all like, yeah, no, we didn't have any heads up of this either. So, I mean, that makes sense if it is really need to know. Like, oh, my God.
It's so, yeah, but, like, I just, it's so crazy. It, like, I guess we have to be careful speculating, but, like, what the fuck else are we supposed to do? Oh, my gosh.
What was that?
Someone crotch rocketed by. I'm in a different place right now. I'm not at home. So...
They're keeping the information quiet out of respect for the other people involved.
So that means he sent someone's wife a dick pic, right?
Can you get fired? Because he was fired with cause, and they don't have to pay him the rest of his contract.
Okay. Oh, God.
I don't know if you could get fired with cause.
For a dick.
That's not That's not even like it's not. I mean, maybe if he sent a dick pic to like Jim Lights or something. I don't. Or, like,
Jim could Lights you imagine? Lights? That's the thing, because like if you're talking about unprofessional conduct, like I'm sorry, calling Jim up the media and dragging your players is extremely unprofessional conduct. So I'm really confused how bad that it has to be for it to not be legal. That it's this bad to fire him. I did hear someone speculate that perhaps this isn't the first incident with him. Like, this may have been a last straw type deal. So that's something to consider. I know a friend of the pod, Sarah, thinks it has to do with, like, insider gambling and stuff on the team.
There was a tweet speculating that it had to do with,
sports betting?
Behavior while he was on alcohol.
Yeah, I mean, like, we don't know, though, because no one will tell us anything. And that's the thing, too. It's like, what if it comes out and it's not that big of a deal and it was just an excuse to fire him? But that seems weird, because these guys really liked Jim Montgomery, and he really turned that team around from the beginning of the year.
They really liked him. Their record is really good, and, like, I just don't – it doesn't make any sense for – and I don't know. It has to be bad, though, because he got fired with
cause. It has to be bad, but how can it be that bad and not illegal? Or is it illegal, but they're trying to protect him? But I don't know why. I mean, Jim Neal seems like that kind of guy. Yeah. But also, why? Like,
maybe it's like a civil case and the other people aren't pressing charges yet. So it's not technically an active legal investigation. I don't remember what the words they used were, but it made it seem like there was that possibility that it could
have been or could be in the future.
It could be. Like, it's not actively.
What if he's put, like, that was the thing. Like, we felt sick all morning about it because, like, we didn't know what he did. And it was like, oh my God, did he do something? Like, did he sexually assault someone? Like, that was my first freaking thought.
Like, I mean, my first thought was abuse. Like, he had abused the players. And especially, they said that he was let go for something that had happened since he had been a star or whatever. And so he's only been a star for a year and a half. And I was like, what did he do to these actual children who are on this team? But it doesn't have anything to do with that. But it could still be.
But I still can't imagine what it could be. Like, there's not really a whole hell of a lot it can really be. I don't know.
I guess, and it could depend on what is in his contract, too.
Yeah.
For them to fire him with cause, it could be something like a clause that they had put in his contract, and if he didn't, and he didn't follow that, and that's how they're able to get out of it without him suing.
That too. And I also think that, like, if it was like a last straw kind of thing, it could have been like, we've warned you like 2 times, 3 times you're out type deal. Who knows? Yeah. We don't know, because you know why? Because they're not saying anything.
They're not saying anything.
I hate it. Anyway, so that happened. surprise, surprise. They did not hire Mike Babcock, thank God. Or John Hines. They actually just kind of promoted Rick Bonus, who was one of their assistant coaches. He's their interim head coach. They brought up the guy from the Texas Stars, and they said these are the guys that are going to be there for the rest of the season. So they've done their shakeup. The other thing about it is, literally, like, that, like, last week was the week when they were starting their Road to the Winter Classic filming. So, like, dealt with it, like, very quickly. So that's going to be, like, a big narrative in the Winter Classic, like, getting Road to the Winter Classic stuff. Because guess what? They have a new coach, like, what, a month beforehand? Yike. Yeah. So
less than a month.
There's that. But they did win their first game under Rick Bonus, and it was their first shutout of the season against the Devils, which is not saying anything.
That's very true.
Because the Devils are bad. The Devils are in, like, full tank mode, by the way.
I'm sorry for coughing.
No, you're okay.
Yes, they are. Oh, hey.
What are you... Oh, did you get the same notification I did?
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing is that Rick Bonus has been at this for a long fucking time.
I have never heard his name before, and I can't believe he's played, he's coached so much. He's been coaching
since before either of us were born.
I know.
Since 1984, he started as an assistant with the Winnipeg Jets 1.0, which is the current Arizona Coyotes. And he was the first ever coach of the expansion Ottawa Senators. So he did. And I also read that, like, at some point, like, I think it was the 97-98 season, he got let go as the New York Islanders head coach. Huh? And, like, he took a year off and then started coaching again. But, like, Rick Bonus has been coaching for a really long time. He's got, like, a huge record. Like, he's played a shit ton of games. But his head coaching experience is fucking bad. Like, oh. his record is bad, yeah. But I guess the footnote that you need to put on with that is that he became an interim coach a couple of times on some pretty fucking bad teams. Yeah. Especially that expansion Ottawa Senators team that was apparently so bad. So, I mean, I think the Stars have been pretty okay since he came in.
Yeah.
I know they've won at least two games and got, like, points and some other ones, so they're doing okay. They're gonna be fine. He plays almost the same way. I just know that he hasn't been in charge of forwards in a while.
When did he get? He got on the 10th.
Yeah,
they have won. They've played three games.
And they've got points in all three.
They got points in all three, and they won two of them. Yeah. And they're on a 5-game point streak right now.
All right, I'll take it.
They're playing Edmonton tonight.
Oh boy.
I can hear my cat meowing downstairs.
The kittens are suspiciously quiet right now, and I don't know what that means for me. I can't see them. I don't think they're in the tree. So I don't know what this means. Don't know where they are.
Yeah, Pittsburgh and Dallas have the same number of points right now and almost the same record.
Okay. All right. Anything else about the Dallas Stars?
No.
Okay. Cool. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Peter DeBoer got fired in San Jose, and they had to clarify. They clarified that it was a hockey decision and not anything else because.
That's a good thing they're going to have to do from now on, apparently.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, the thing is, like, right before the Montgomery firing, like, the NHL put out, like, their 4-point plan about, like, abuse and, like, they're going to make coaches and relevant people do, like, diversity training, and there's a hotline for abuse, which no one's going to use, you know, that kind of stuff. But there's no punishment thing in place.
Yeah.
For if coaches kind of abuse that power, so what the fuck is the point? Like, it's just they're covering their ass. They don't give a fuck. Anyways,
and I think they're at least
should have been there in the first place, but at least should have been there.
It should have been there in the first place, but also this league is the worst, and at least they are doing something.
Yeah,
at least the bat like. So Babcock got fired because Marc-Andre Fleury saved that Nick Batan shot in Vegas, right?
I think that Babcock was on thin ice the whole season, and he probably should have been fired over the summer.
Well, absolutely, yeah. We all agree with that. We talked about that before he got fired. But just if that's like that was the last straw, was that Nick Batan save or the Fleury save on Nick Batan, it's nice that Marc-Andre Fleury is really just like bringing about the change.
It's true. It's true. What was I gonna say? I don't know.
I have a fun tidbit about the Pete DeBoer firing.
Okay.
That was the fifth head coach that had been fired since the Red Wings won a game.
Okay, here's the thing about the Red Wings. So yeah. Jeff Blashill is doing what he's supposed to do. Like, the reason he hasn't been fired is because they are tanking. I was going to say this when I was talking about New Jersey. Like, both New Jersey and Detroit are in full tank mode. Like, they just are. So they're looking for, what is it, Quentin Byfield and Alexis Lafreniere? Like, that's who they're looking for. So, I mean, I don't know what New Jersey's doing because Taylor Hall is the lottery expert. and why you're tanking and you're trying to get a lottery
pick. They're going to get fourth or whatever.
I hope so, because they've had two. Like, haven't they had, like, two in the last couple of years?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are they, fucking Oilers East? Yeah. Oh, wait, yes, they are. Sorry. Anyways. Yeah. So, the Sharks are 16, 17, and 2. And I guess they had just come back from a really, really, really bad road trip. And that's when they decided to move on from old PDD. They are
6 points out of a spot. Yeah. Right now.
And then they put old Bobby Bugner in, who couldn't have been a run out of Florida fast enough last year, like at the beginning of the year. You know what I mean? Like they ran him out of Florida.
Wasn't he the coach on the Islanders when they won their first play? No, they lost that playoff round. I'm lying. I'm sorry. No, he was the coach of the Panthers, and they made it to the playoffs, but they lost to John Tavares.
Yes. Was he the coach then? Or was that the other guy? Was that Gerard Gallant?
Oh, I don't know, man. Maybe. There's too many coaching changes. I only particularly care about a couple of them. Speaking of coaching changes, and also my birthday, which was this last Thursday, which you know. I'm just letting our listeners know.
Happy belated birthday on the podcast.
Thank you. December 12th, and I just want to, it was the anniversary of the best birthday present that the Pittsburgh Penguins have ever gotten me. And I realized I could have saved this for Penguins Corner, but whatever. The firing of Mike Johnston after a year and a half, and the hiring of Mike Sullivan. It was like 2 days before the best trade in the whole world, which was Scuderi for Daly, one for one. But so Mike Sullivan as the best birthday present that the Pittsburgh Penguins have ever gotten me. Another good birthday present was when they beat the Blue Jackets on Thursday.
On your birthday.
My birthday. Just for me. Excellent.
That was great. just one last thing about the Sharks. Apparently their defense is bad, but I don't have any actual stats on that. But I assume it's true. Like, you stack your defense and then it just turns to shit. But also their goaltenders are not great. What?
Mark Edward Vlasic just played 1,000 games.
Apparently he's been, like, total ass this year.
I mean, that's fine. That's fair. But I didn't realize ass and Vlasic. All right, calm down.
I'm sorry. Anyways, Martin Jones has 12 wins, 13 losses, and an 8.88 save percentage. And Aaron Dell has 4 wins, 4 losses, and an 8.98 save percentage. So their goalies are also trash.
That's not great.
No, it's not. Anyway, that's all I have to say about the Sharks because I don't particularly care.
Opinion on the Sharks, yeah.
Yeah. Like, don't they have the one guy that everybody hates? Don't we hate him?
Evander Kane, yeah.
Yeah, no more Sharks talk. It's time for Penguins Corner, just because I said so.
Okay. Did you know that the Pittsburgh Penguins on Saturday got their first 5-on-3 goal in over 2 years?
Oh my god. Yes, I did know that, because they were making a big deal out of it on the broadcast. Which seems ridiculous.
Well, oh my god, I'm sorry. Their power play hasn't been very good this year, at least. So it makes sense that their 5-on-3 play hasn't been very good. Also, I mean, I think you obviously get less 5-on-3 chances.
How do you say 5-on-3 in Russian?
5-on-3. So they got their first 5-on-3 goal in over 2 years on Saturday. The last time it happened was November 25th, 2017. When Sidney Crosby scored in a 5-2 win over the Tampa Bay Lightning, which was Tristan Jarry's first NHL win.
I love it. I hate it. They should score those. There's no reason that a Pittsburgh Penguins team shouldn't score on a 5-on-3. But
I mean,
I digress.
They didn't have, you know. Oh my god. There's no reason that a healthy Pittsburgh Penguins team, or at least a Pittsburgh Penguins team with one of their top three centers,
You're going to be okay.
I'm going to be fine. Sorry, I'm trying not to cough into the microphone again.
For sure. Yeah, because big Evgeny Malkin's been sick. He must have the goddamn plague because he's not been skating with the team. He's that fucking sick.
Well, I think they're trying to not spread it.
Yeah, which makes sense, but it doesn't seem like it's worked because I think Rust is sick today, too.
Yeah, Brian Rust was out today.
But the Penguins managed to beat the Blue Jackets 1-0 for Gino.
And then, it was an overtime win, right?
It was an overtime win.
Overtime win scored by Brian Rust.
Was it Brian Rust? Feels like a Brian Rust goal. I'll look.
Whom the fuck is Brian Rust? I got it.
You got it?
Rust scores on power play at 3:02 for Pittsburgh.
I love it.
Tristan Jarry got his third shutout in 4 games.
Yeah.
He's very good right now. They are riding the hot hand. He had an unfortunate 4-1 game against the Montreal Canadiens.
On Star Wars night.
It wasn't great. But also that night, that was the night that Tristan Jarry set the franchise record for shutout.
Usurping, what was it, Thomas Vokoun?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I haven't heard that name in a minute.
So, Tristan Jarry is a good boy, and, right, like, people always want to make a controversy, but...
Especially in Pittsburgh, I think.
Especially in Pittsburgh, and especially about the goalies, but, like, the thing about having a tandem, which this isn't necessarily a tandem, it's usually a starter and a backup, but, like, the thing about having a tandem is that you can ride the hot hand, mm-hmm. like... Matt hasn't been great this season, and so, like, letting him sit out, I think Sully said something about how he's been working with the goalie coaches a lot more. Mm-hmm. Like, it's given him a chance to work on his game, and then you ride the hot, you keep Tristan in, let him play, get those stats up, all of that. Like, it's not, I don't think it's a controversy. I think they're both good. There's no problem with having a tandem. A lot of teams have tandems now. Like,
yeah.
The Stars are doing that, and the Hawks are doing that. And
I think it's, well, I mean, especially it's a Pittsburgh thing because their media is notoriously awful. Looking at you, Josh.
That's true.
Also, hold on. We're in Penguins Corner, so I can fucking talk about this. I read some absolute bullshit from Rob Rossi this morning, who literally said that Anze Kopitar is better than Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby. And I said, fuck you, sir. Are you kidding me? He was like, he said something about Anze Kopitar being the most skilled player on the ice, even if the Penguins had Malkin and Crosby. And I'm like, sir, if you think that Anze Kopitar is better than Sidney Crosby, I don't know what the fuck you're doing or smoking. Like, really?
Like,
really?
Current, too? Like, not just, like...
Yes.
He's not just making some, like, weird,
no,
like...
No, he's saying Anze Kopitar is more skilled than Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby played that night.
Whatever... 30-year-old, a miracle, whatever miracle age he is, Anze Kopitar.
Yes. Anze Kopitar, who couldn't even put a penalty shot in on Tristan Jarry.
Anze Kopitar, who is leading the Kings in points with 31 in 35 games.
Okay, well, that's probably it's not that bad. I'm just saying. Like, I know Anze Kopitar is a good player. I'm just saying I don't know if he's more skilled than Malkin and Crosby. I don't think I would go that far.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
Rob Rossi needs to shut his face.
Oh my god. I don't remember if I watched this game. I don't remember what I was doing. But
I didn't.
I think I watched the end of it. But I know that I had friends that were there, and they said that the refereeing was quite awful. It was. They were trying to, like, black and white must unite, because, like, they were trying real hard to
hand the game to the Kings.
Like, really hard. Which was a theme that night, because the Stars game that night, freaking Anton Khudobin's lid came off, and it took them forever to blow the whistle. Enough so that a Predator put a shot on him without a helmet on, which was not a penalty, by the way.
That's not how it works.
I know, and it was a Wes McCauley ref'd game.
If the other team has possession, then you call that, right? If the goalie is...
It doesn't matter. It's an automatic whistle, isn't it? I thought it was an automatic whistle if the goalie's bucket comes off.
I think it's supposed to be, but I think, like,
it's even a discretionary thing. Yeah, but you can't let a goalie take a fucking puck to the face without a helmet.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think it's I think it's supposed to be, but I think it's also, like, a discretionary thing. But I think at that point, if their team, if the Stars had possession and they haven't blown the whistle, okay. But once the other team gets possession,
yeah, why are you gonna let someone Yeah, it was, like, way too long for the whistle to blow, and a like, Predator shot any, it. Like, he shot it high, too. He went for the head, which it's a they're not called the Predators for nothing.
Fuck the Predators.
Truly. God. But not like that.
Oh, no. I don't like any Predator. The only Predator I only like when he's not a Predator.
Ew.
Nick Bonino.
Oh, true. I forget that he exists because he is... inconsequential to me. Anyways,
because he hasn't shown me any pictures of his babies.
Yeah, he hasn't shown me pictures of his babies in like 2 years, so fuck you, Nick. I don't have anything to say. I'm done.
Anyway,
For that Braden Dumoulin went to see Santa today, which is very important to me.
That was very important. The Kings game was a shootout when Brian Rust was the only scorer in the shootout, and it was technically his third goal of the game. It doesn't count as a hat trick, but it counts as a hat trick in my heart.
It's a heart trick.
People did throw hats on the ice, which you're not supposed to do.
Who cares? It was a heart trick.
Exactly.
I appreciate it.
I love you, Brian Rust. Whom the fuck is Brian Rust?
Truly, whom the fuck is Brian Rust? Love him.
He's pretty clutch. Oh, Rust is tough on bolts. I was like, what was the thing that they used that they said? Because there were like two games in the 2016 Eastern Conference final. And the Pens were down like 3-1 in the series, and then 3-2 in the series, and they went to Tampa, and Brian Rust scored the only two goals of the game, and they were like, Rust is tough on bolts, to like save them from elimination. I don't know why I'm saying them when I really want to be saying us, to save us from elimination. Like, I love Brian Rust so much. Can you imagine if Brian Rust hadn't been injured and they had already traded him this season? That would be the worst.
Oh my god.
Thank you, whoever injured Brian Rust, to allow him to be there now.
Yeah, no
joke. And still be a Penguin.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Thank you, Brian Rust. Really bad finger, because I think he broke his finger again. Which he's had problems with.
Oh, my God. Oh, hey, Sid's been skating for 6 days. He has no timetable for return, but he's been skating for 6 days, which is important to me.
It's very good.
He still has a depression beard.
Yeah, people were like, yeah, he's been skating for 6 days, but he's not on the trip. Like, no shit. He's still supposed to be out for, like, two more weeks. But the fact that he's skating after his core surgery is a very good sign. Like,
was Bjukstad skating, too?
I don't know.
I don't know either. We'll investigate and bring that information to you next week.
Maybe.
Who knows? Maybe we'll just diminish into the West. Just kidding. The West is messed.
West is messed.
It's a hot mess over there. Like, oh, you know what? I do have an update, which is that the Calgary Flames finally fucking lost a game after they made their coaching change.
Yeah.
They won, like, on a 7-game, like, streak, and then they lost in Carolina over the weekend.
And, they sure did.
Yeah, 4-0 shutout.
You sure did. I have that in my shutout notes.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
It's okay.
I stepped on your stats toes.
The only other stat that we haven't mentioned, or shutout that we haven't mentioned, is, oh, no, Alexander Georgiev got a shutout against the Knights. And it was 5-0 for the Rangers.
Oh, my God. The Rangers scored 5. Yeah, I watched some of that game. It was wild.
Yeah, that sounds wild. And then Ben Bishop, shout out the Devils, and Tristan Jarry, shout out the CBJ. What?
Shutting out the Devils isn't saying anything.
I know, but still. Jacob Markstrom of the Canucks shut out the Carolina Hurricanes 1-0. And then James Raymer shut out the Flames.
Oh, my flamey boys.
There were 3 official hat tricks this week.
Okay.
One of them didn't count. It was a heart trick. That was Brian Rust. Artemi Panarin of the Rangers.
Was it against the Blue Jackets?
It was not. It was against the Sharks.
Oh, no. I know. The Anthony Duclair one is against the Blue Jackets.
I'm about to get there. Stop.
No.
Artemi Panarin is the 17th player in NHL history to score his first 3 career hat tricks against or with 3 different teams.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so he only ever had 1 hat trick in Chicago and 1 hat trick in Columbus. Now he got his first in New York. Anthony Duclair of the Ottawa Senators scored a hat trick against the Blue Jackets, including the OT winner. Someone mashed up a video of John Tortorella saying,
good.
I don't think he can play. I just don't think he can play or something.
Yeah, no, he said, I don't think he can play. I don't think he understands how to play the game. He just does whatever he wants on the ice, and then he went and dominated him. The Senators are Anthony Duclair's 5th team.
Yeah.
Like, this
league is racist.
Yeah, I think that might be part of it.
I think that's definitely part of it.
I agree.
Especially
when it comes to Tortorella, because we know he's a piece of shit.
We know he's a racist, and Duclair is younger, and I think that's another part of it. And so, like, they didn't really, like, give him a chance. I think he was drafted by the Rangers, and then he was a Coyote for a while. Mm-hmm. He didn't do much in Chicago. They couldn't figure him out in Chicago. They couldn't figure him out in Columbus. I want him to have found a home.
I do, too. Because, I mean, especially also that hat trick was in front of his dad, because I do believe the Senators might be on a dad's trip. His dad was there. His dad. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that that's what I've been seeing, is that his dad was there.
I can't believe you don't know whether or not the Senators are on a hat trip or on a dad's trip.
I don't know if it was. I don't. But it might have been at Ottawa. I think it was at Ottawa. So maybe his dad was just there.
Okay.
So I will take that back, because I don't know if it was a dad's trip. The Caps had a dad's trip this year, because Radko Gudas's dad has like a white mullet.
I like the mom's trip best.
I like a mom's trip too.
The Hawks and a mom's trip this year.
The Penguins have done a mom's trip. They should do one again.
I think the Hawks alternate.
See, that makes sense.
They do, yeah. They do a dad's trip 1 year and then a mom's trip the next. I think their record when the moms are on the trip is really good, and the record when the dads are on the trip is like middling.
I just remember Barry Trotz hates dad's trips, so
Barry Trotz can suck a dick. Okay.
Yeah, you really do.
I love when they have the. Like, their dads or their moms. I love it.
I know. I like them, too. I think they're fun.
They are fun. And like
well,
all
they don't
of
get to
the
spend time with their parents either. Like the seasons are like crazy long, and then like you don't get, you're away from home all the time, and like it's just fun.
And like their parents, like they make this big deal about like quote unquote hockey moms, or like people, their parents like driving them to practice all the time when they were younger. And then like they, a lot of the best ones moved out, like, and had like moved out really young and
15 to move to like, yeah, to like go do juniors and stuff. Oh, was it like Radek Foxa like moved from where he lived
like,
in Czech
oh.
to like another town and
Yeah.
like lived in like a hotel or something like to play
Yeah.
like in a higher league? Like he was really young. It's crazy. Like the hockey life is bizarre, and I feel like that's something specific to hockey, because I
Yeah.
don't know if like I'm like the closest thing I can come to is like NCAA with like football or basketball. Not many
Yeah,
guys
but
make
like
the transition from high school straight to the NBA. But
right,
like, you know what I
right.
mean? Like, but like with
And there's
hockey,
not
they
like a
start with that like major junior
Yeah,
or
there's not like a
before.
minor, there's not like like a junior league for other major
Yeah.
sports where you have to move away from your parents at 14, 15.
That's
Like,
fucking bizarre.
it is bizarre, but like that's why I really like moms and dads trips, and I think it's very cute. And it's just like it's like two games, and they, you know, the parents get to like hang out, like be touristy, and they all get to wear their nice little
Oh my God. No, now we're talking about it. It's gonna make me sad.
Okay, anyway, so the third hat trick
Well, you
this
know what I
week
was
was
thinking about?
what?
Devon Shore's mom, who hand knit all of the Stars moms' scarves, and then Devon
Joel,
got traded
why?
to Anaheim. Yeah, you fucking started it. Anyway,
You started, you
I
said you
absolutely did not
said
start it.
it.
I might have started it. Anyways, go ahead.
Anyway, the other hat trick was Patrick Kane last night. Who the fuck
Oh,
cares?
gross.
I got some
Okay.
stats. The Knights have the second best record in history through the first 200 games, in terms of wins, points, and point percentage, second only to the original Ottawa Senators from 1917 or whatever. Joe Thornton became the first overall pick to appear in 1,600 career regular season games, and the 12th player in history to appear. He and Patty are the first teammates in NHL history to play in the same game with 1,600 plus games on their resume.
That's fucking wild.
That is fucking wild. As soon as they play in January, they will have played in four different decades. The only active players to have played in four
That's
decades.
amazing.
It's fucking great. This season is the first season to feature four 50-point scorers. Through whatever we're at, this says 514. We still have 450 point scorers since 1986-97, when Mario Lemieux, Jaromír Jágr, Wayne Gretzky, Joe Sakic, and Matt Sundin all had 50 points this year, or over 50. Connor McDavid has 57. Leon Draisaitl has 56. MacKinnon and Marchand both have 50. And Pastrnak and Eichel both have 48.
Holy smokes.
This is the third straight season with multiple players registering 15-plus game point streaks. Patrick Kane had 15-game point streak earlier this season. Jack Eichel is on a 16-game point streak right now. This also happened, and so it happened last season, the season before, and also the lockout year. And then for three straight seasons, and then 20 straight seasons from 1973-74 to 92-93, there were multiple players with 15 game point streaks.
Yeah, but you could breathe and score a goal back then.
That is true. Still, that's a really long time. Sebastian Aho is the youngest player in Kane's history to score his 100th career goal. He's just over 22. And as of Wednesday, 23% of all games saw a team erase a multi-goal deficit to at least even the score. That's 109 of 483 games. The trailing team earned a point in 83% of those contests. So 91 games so far this season have been the trail. A team has been down by at least two goals and has gone on to win at least a point. I think we're still at five.
The Kings
four did goals. The other day. Yeah, that's true.
To the Penguins. It was really awful.
I know it was awful. I know. I understand. Do you want to know who is currently leading the league in goals against average, save percentage, and shutouts?
Do I want to know or do I know?
Do you know?
Is it Tristan Jarry?
It sure as hell is Tristan Jarry. He's tied with three shutouts with Pekka Rinne. He has a .937 save percentage and a .192 goals against average.
I love him.
Love him deeply.
He's very cute.
He is very cute. He is 1 year younger than Matt. And they are both adorable. I feel
like he's been with the team longer. It seems crazy. Like,
I think he's been up and down more. I don't think he's been with the team longer. Will this let me click on his name?
No, you're probably right. I wonder if Matt stayed in Major Junior longer.
I don't know.
I just have seen Tristan Jarry's name longer than Matt's.
Well, I think because I don't know. That doesn't make sense. No.
I know that. I'm telling you what I feel.
I know. Okay, Tristan Jarry. He's also never been like a starter. He's always been a backup. Oh. Like even in Major Juniors, when they drafted him, he was a backup. They drafted him in the second round, 44th overall in 2013. His first game, I remember watching this because I was at your house. Yeah. His what first game, you were also at your house.
Oh, that sounds great.
It was during Do It for Matthews, 2K17.
The most wonderful time of the year.
2016, 2017, it was like their last game of the season, and they played against the Rangers, and they lost, but it didn't really matter. That game didn't matter, and then they won the cup. So that was in I was in April of 2017, and then he played not a lot, but he played more in 17-18. I think that's because Matt was out for a while, and so it was Casey and Tristan. And then he was only up two times last year, and he made the team out of camp this year. So I love Tristan Jarry.
Is that true?
He's a good boy.
I agree. Joel Farabee got suspended.
Okay.
I don't know what he did. Something against the Jets, which, is it really a crime? Oh, shoot. No, that's not what I wanted. I don't want it. Anyways, whatever. Joel Farabee got suspended for something.
I didn't check out the high scoring games this season. This week. We're just gonna do hat tricks and shutouts and.
Oh yeah, there was one I saw. The Jets put up like, I think the Jets put up like seven on the Flyers. The Jets
put up seven on the Flyers yesterday.
Oh yeah, I saw that and I thought of you.
That looks like the only one. Now I'm just. Let's see. Bah, bah, bah. Oh, there was a 6-5 Wild Oilers game.
Oh, boy.
And that looks like pretty much it. A lot of 6-3s. Some 5-4s. That's it. All right. Yep. Do you want to do the best name?
I can do the best name. I picked this one out last week, and you're like, no, I got it. And I was like, oh, shit. So
I had it.
You did, and I have a name for you. He is the former captain of the Rimouski Oceanic, former teammate of former best name in hockey, Alexis Lafreniere, born in Rimouski, Quebec, Canada, And this week's best name in hockey is Charles Edward Dastu.
Dastu.
Yes. Charles Edward Dastu. Charles Edward Dastu aged out of major junior. He was undrafted, I want to say. I don't see a draft team here. Mm-hmm. So he is undrafted. He signed with the Grand Rapids Griffins, which is the AHL affiliate of the Red Wings. He is currently playing with the Toledo Walleye, which is their ECHL team.
Okay.
And let me tell you about his time in the ECHL. What's he got? 22 games, 2 goals, 10 points, or 10 assists for 12 points total, and 20 penalty minutes. Nice. He is a defenseman. And his last season as the captain in Rimouski, 55 games, 14 goals, 52 assists for 66 points and 68 penalty minutes. That's my guy.
I have breaking news.
Oh God, what is it?
It's related to the coaching controversy.
Oh, what happened now?
So assistant coach of the Chicago Blackhawks, Mark Crawford, has been suspended for a while.
Yeah.
They just announced that he will be suspended until January 2nd, and then he will return to the bench. They released a statement. "We do not condone his previous behavior. Through a review, we confirmed that Mark proactively sought professional counseling to work to improve and become a better communicator, person, and coach. We learned that Mark began counseling in 2010, and he has continued therapy on a regular basis since. We believe that Mark has learned from his past actions and has committed to striving to reform himself and evolve personally and professionally over the last decade. We have experienced no incidents during Mark's coaching tenure with the Blackhawks." And Mark Crawford also released a statement. "I have made sincere efforts to address my inappropriate conduct with the individuals involved, as well as the team at large." Well, his is a lot longer. But, I mean, it sounds like he is trying, and that is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
So he will be back in the new year.
Okay, I'm fine with that. If especially because I didn't know, like, I mean, you never, I didn't hear the part about him like making amends, which is great, but because that's part of it too. Like, one of the stories that like started this off, some guy just like offhandedly mentioned on Spittin' Chiclets, and like people kind of like, and he's like, wait a sec, and like that guy like backtracked it. He's like, wait a second, like that was actually good for me. But it's like, you can't really do shit like that to everybody, because there are plenty of players that are coming from a background of abuse that you can't abuse them like that and expect it to be okay. Like,
He says, I used unacceptable language and conduct toward players in hopes of motivating them, and sometimes went too far. As I deeply regret this behavior, I have worked hard over the last decade to improve both myself and my coaching style. And all of the stories that came out were older stories for players who were no longer playing.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too. We didn't even talk about, like, the shit that happened this week, too, with, like, Akeem Alou and, like, the blackface thing.
Oh, the Colorado Eagles.
Like, we didn't even talk about that. And I mean, I suppose we should touch on it for a second. Like, it's just, like, it was shitty and it was fucked up. And I think, is that guy still working for their team? Like, he was as of Monday. Like, not Monday, this Monday.
I think they suspended him. Week.
Fucking finally, that guy sucks. Like.
Well, also, a lot of the people who were involved with that are still with the team.
Yeah. And like, and the team tried to claim that they had no idea. We're like, but it was a team party. They literally set him up to show up late. Like, if you didn't hear about it, like, Akeem Alou played with the, he was new to the Colorado Eagles, and like, they were having a Halloween party and they told him to show up late, and an equipment manager was there with like the guy's nickname. Like, he made the jersey, and he was in blackface, and he, like, made the guy pose with him, and, like, they set him up so he could he would come in late so everybody could gauge his reaction, and, like, that's not funny, and it's pretty awful. Like, it's very awful. Was still working for that team. Like, Jesus. Yeah. So, fuck that guy. And I guess the other thing was, I think that, like, the Colorado Avalanche weren't even affiliated with the team at the time, but they they came in and cleaned up this mess, is what I heard. So, I guess if I ever have to give the Colorado Avalanche kudos, it's kudos to that, for them, for that, to clean it up, because I think the Avalanche, as much as I hate them, are a pretty solid organization with regards to shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know. All right. Do you have anything else to say?
No.
Okay. Are we done?
I think we're done.
Okay. Well, I love you. You, Samantha specifically, but also our listeners. If they would like to interact with us, we can be found on Instagram at Stick to Tape and on Twitter at Stick to Tape. Our DMs are open.
If you have any longer questions, comments, concerns, or best name and Rocky suggestions, you can email us at sticktotapepod@gmail.com. We have not talked about our holiday schedule because I am going home next week.
You might just say fuck you till the new year.
Oh my God. Don't. You're the worst. There's a cat behind you. Yeah.
Oh my God. But they've been jumping up that way. It's so fucking cute. That's Ayla. I had the kittens mixed up. That's Ayla. They jump up on that speaker to get upstairs. It's so fucking cute.
Anyway, we'll definitely, like, worst comes to worst, we will see. We'll be back, like, for, because we're going to the Winter Classic. We're probably going to talk about that. We're going to hopefully have friend of the pod, Sarah, and do a fun.
We might have a whole bunch of guests.
That's true. That's
there's
true.
There's gonna be a shit ton of people there.
It's gonna be a bunch of people there. We're gonna do a fun in person, which are always the best. Hopefully, it'll be easy to follow.
Or it'll be a disaster. You'll love it.
We may see you next week. Who knows? We'll let you know. We'll keep you, if you go to our Twitter, we'll keep you updated on Twitter. And we love you. And stick to tape.
You should stick to tape. Bye.